Creation swirls before my eyes. The birth of man, the origin of the gods. Their magic crashes into the room in waves, a rainbow of every vibrant hue. Magic shattered through every heart, every soul, every being. It connects us all, threading through the shell of humanity. The power sears into my skin. Its ecstasy and agony flow at once, indistinguishable from pleasure and pain. As it fades, I see the truth in plain sight, yet hidden all along. We are all children of blood and bone, all instruments of vengeance and virtue. This truth holds me close, rocking me like a child in a mother's arms. It binds me in its love as death swallows me into its grasp. That's a quote from Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. This is YA Book Chat, and I'm your host, Leah Stuhler.
Hi, I'm Bethany Finger, the host of Prince Kai Fan Pod, a Marissa Meyer Book Club podcast. Join me every week during my read-along journey through all of the books by author Marissa Meyer, one chapter at a time, spoiler-free. Each episode will feature a different guest, new fan art, and laughter and joy through reading. You can find Prince Kai Fan Pod on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all other listening platforms. And now, back to the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of YA Book Chat. Thank you so much for being here and listening. And I want to say a special thank you to all of my Patreon members. I could not be here without your support. So thank you for all you do for me. Well, today, I am really excited to cover a book that I have been wanting to cover for a very long time, and it just never worked out until now. But I absolutely love this book and its sequel, and am ready for book three to come out whenever it gets here. So today I am going to be covering the book Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi, and I am excited to have a new guest on with me today. Today my guest is Dawn, and she is from the Novel Universe podcast. Why don't you say hello, Dawn, and tell everyone a little about yourself.
Hi, everybody. I am one half of the Novel Universe. I podcast with my friend Ashley. We met at a book club like 4 years ago, and we've been friends ever since, and we're both big fantasy readers, so we decided to just do the podcast together. We both live in Upper Illinois, so like the Chicagoland area. Just to kind of give you a little bit of reference, we're about 10 minutes south of Kenosha. I know Kenosha is a word that's everybody's mind right now. So I do have a lot of friends in Kenosha. I go up there all the time. Not so much now because of COVID, but, you know, I spend a lot of time in Kenosha. I'm actually trying to move there. So that's where I am, just to give you a little perspective. I am a teen librarian. That's my full-time job. So that's how I got into reading, is just because I had to kind of read for work. And so I like talking about books, and the Novel Universe is just myself and Ashley talking about new books and fantasy and adult fantasy and teen fantasy.
That is really like a dream job right there. Just, I mean, you said the magic words. You said, I have to read for my job. Like I would love to just get paid to read. I mean, I know you do more than that as a librarian, obviously, but that's fun. Like, to think about it, like, I get paid to read. This is great, you know, and help teenagers find books that they like and could be interested in. Like, I just think that sounds like a really fun job. A really great job.
It is a lot of fun. I actually watched The Queen's Gambit for work today, it's for programming. So I get to watch Netflix sometimes too.
Nice. Seriously. Best job. You want to switch with me? That'd be fun. No. Well, good. I actually lived in the Chicagoland area for about 11 years. We lived in the northwest suburbs of Chicago in Wheeling and Mount Prospect.
Okay. Yeah, I know where that is.
And I would go up to Milwaukee quite frequently. So yeah, love it up there. It's a very nice area. Cold, but you know. All right. right. Well, I am very excited. Just as a reminder for everybody listening, we will do the first 10 to 15 minutes of the podcast spoiler-free. So if you have not yet read Children of Blood and Bone, we will not spoil it for you. I promise. I will give you a warning before we head into the spoiler section. But also, on that note, if you have not read this book, you really should. Just saying. Okay, so first, I'm just going to give a quick plot overview for everybody. And if I pronounce anything incorrectly, Dawn, if you happen to know any of these pronunciations, feel free to jump in and tell me. Okay, well, I'm hoping I don't butcher all these. If Tomi Adeyemi ever listens to this, forgive me. Okay, just in advance. All right. Zele remembers when the soil of Orisha hummed with magic. Burners ignited flames, tiders beckoned waves, and Zele's reaper mother summoned forth souls. But everything changed once magic disappeared. Under the orders of a ruthless king, the Magi were targeted and killed, leaving Zele without a mother and her people without hope. Now, Zele has one chance to bring back magic and strike against the monarchy. With the help of a rogue princess, Zele must outwit and outrun the crown prince, who is hell-bent on eradicating magic for good. Danger lurks in Orisha, where snow leopinaires prowl and vengeful spirits wait in the waters. Yet the greatest threat may be Zele herself as she struggles to control her powers and her growing feelings for an enemy. This book, I actually was first really drawn in by the cover. This has one of the most gorgeous book covers ever. And so I kept on seeing it pop up in my Instagram feed and I was like, this sounds really good and the cover is gorgeous, so I have to read this book. So I finally did. And I was not disappointed. So let's talk a little bit, spoiler free, kind of like our overall thoughts on the book, maybe what we liked, if there was anything you didn't like. So yeah, why don't you go ahead, Dawn, and tell me what you thought about the book.
Overall, I don't know, do we do a rating first or should we wait to the end?
You can do a rating.
Okay. I gave it a 4.8. I didn't quite give it a 5. And I'll say that when we talk about our dislikes. Okay. But one of the biggest things I like, and this isn't exactly content-wise, but as a teen librarian, this book came out a couple years ago, 2018, I believe. And I buy my books for teens. And one of the struggles is finding books that are fantasy books, I should say, that have black teens mm-hmm. written by black authors and have black people in the cover. Mm-hmm. I usually give a little disclaimer when I do my podcast. I am black, by the way, just in case I want people to get offended if I say anything. So it was very difficult to find those books. And so mm-hmm. when this book came out, and I'm not saying that Adeyemi is by any means the first to do this, right. but she kind of helped but I think she encouraged publishers to publish more books, mm-hmm. fantasy in particular, with black characters and black authors, and particularly with black people on the cover. And specifically on this book, the girl on the cover is dark skin, which mm-hmm. is really rare to see a dark skinned person on the cover of a book. And since then, now that I still purchase books, but now I have more choices than I used to have just 2 years ago. And I do think that it is attributed to Adeyemi and what she's done. So that's one of the things I liked about the book. I like the culture. I like that mm-hmm. it is set in Africa, a Western African country. Once again, Western Africa has not really been a setting for a lot of books. And now you see it a lot more. Ray Bear, Songs of Wraiths and Ruin. Even I'm reading an adult book right now, Rage of Dragons, is set in West Africa. So we're nice. Even seeing that setting too. So that's one of the things I do like, is the entire cast is black. Mm-hmm. And there's themes of colorism, which I'm sure we're going to get into mm-hmm. later, in the world in general. I really did. That was one of the contributing factors to my enjoyment of the book.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I do like to read like the author's notes and the stuff in the back of the book, but I didn't read any of that before I started reading it.
So I picked up the book, I started reading it, and it really was not that far into it when the first thing I thought was, because I only like just read this, 2020? Yeah. How could I forget?
I know.
I read it, I think I read it at the beginning of this year. I can't even remember anymore. But it was, anyway, it was when there was a lot of the racism and the hate crimes and all the things happening. And I didn't, so I started reading this book, and the first thing I thought was, wow, this is like super relevant to what's happening today and for the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, I was like, this is really awesome. This is great. And so then, like, I think it was like halfway through the book, I finally was like, just one day happened to flip to the back, and I read her author's note in the back and saw that that was the reason that she wrote the book, you know, back when it came out in like 2018. And there was stuff that was happening then with racial discrimination and police brutality and different things. And I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, that's very obvious. You know, it comes across really well in her story. And I love that she did that. I think that it's definitely needs to be talked about more and gotten out there more. And so I love that. And I liked that you said too about the African culture, because so I was really curious when I was reading this. I'm always curious about other cultures, like mythology and stuff, because they talk about, you know, the Sky Mother and the different gods and this of Orisha. And so I did some digging and I looked that up because I was kind of wondering, you know, where it came from. So the author is of Nigerian ancestry. And so she used, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, but I think it's Yoruban. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yoruban. Yoruban mythology that comes from Nigeria. And so it was really cool to read about that too, and how she, and to see how Tomi Adeyemi, how the author put all of that, you know, heritage and that history into the story as well. So I really like that too.
Yeah. Another thing I really liked about this book, in fantasy, this is kind of canon. There's always a good versus evil trope. Mm-hmm. But usually, and I'll just give the example of Harry Potter, it's like Harry Potter is the clear protagonist and Voldemort is the villain. Like, that's how it is. And that's usually how it is in YA or just fantasy in general. And in this book, there's a lot of gray with these characters and the villains and the protagonists, because yes, the Magi have been oppressed, but then, you know, there's some shenanigans and you're like, I don't think that's what we want to be doing with our magic. And I kind of see why they don't like that. And then you get the villain and you're like, oh, that's really not good, but I kind of understand. So, you know, I like that she kind of, you know, for the reader, it's like you're not quite sure who to root for, and sometimes you're kind of rooting for both. Whereas in Harry Potter, I was never like, well, Voldemort makes some good points. Like, I've never said that.
Yeah.
So I really did like that there were sometimes I was kind of like sympathizing with Sauron, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know about this, Ellie. You know, so I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I agree. That aspect of it too kind of is what kept me going through the story as well, because it ended up being like, well, you know, because different things happen where you're like, okay, well, can I trust this person? Is this person being sincere right now? Because you think that they're actually bad, but are they actually meaning well right now? Or are they going to come back and trick this person? Like, so it was hard to know sometimes, you know, what was going to happen, which makes for a really great story, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat. And that was something that I really enjoyed. It also really made it a really emotional story too. I mean, not just with like, I mean, Xele, you know, and her brother and their family go through a lot. And she experiences a lot of pain in her life, as does Amari and her brother too. But it was just, there's so much that happens in the book, and each of the characters kind of goes through a lot emotionally, and all those gray areas kind of pull in and intermingle with all of that as well. So it's just a great book overall. It offers a lot, you know, like it's a good, I mean, I kept on reading this. I was like, there's just more and more stuff that happens. But while there's a lot that happens in the book, it didn't feel like it was too much. You know what I mean? Like, I've read stuff before where I was like, okay, I've skipped stuff where I'm like, all right, I can go without all of this information. This is unnecessary. But with this book, I actually felt like, no, this is all, there's a lot, but it's all really good and it's relevant.
Yeah, I agree.
I also really like the world building that Tomi Adeyemi does, because not only do we have the magic, but then again, we have the Yoruban mythology that's built in. You have, kind of the, like you said, kind of the good versus the evil, the royalty versus the magi. But there's a lot that happens. The animals are really cool too. Like, I don't know if you thought this, but I was like, ooh, a lionaire. What is that? You know, like, and I was getting these, or the snow leopinaires and all these different things. Like, the names are like close to like leopard or, you know, lions, but when she describes them, she paints like a really different picture of them too. So I was trying to imagine these like big mythical creatures and what they might look like. And it was just, I enjoyed it. I don't know.
It was difficult for me to picture that at first. It took me a while. I was like, oh, okay, they're supposed to be like horses. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, at first I was like, wait, she's riding on like a lion or a leopard? But it doesn't look, how does this work? I don't know. But eventually, you know, once you kind of wrap your brain around the fact like, Okay, they're riding them. They're like horses. It's fine, but they're, you know, lions or whatever. It's fine. Yeah. Then it works. But it's good. Was there anything, the thing that you didn't like? Is that more like in our spoiler section?
I will just say I wasn't jazzed about the romance, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I can see that. Okay. Agreed. Well, let's move into our spoiler section, because there is a lot to talk about. There's a lot that happens. It's almost kind of hard to know where to start even. But so for everybody listening, if you have not yet read Children of Blood and Bone and you don't want it to be spoiled for you, then I would suggest you stop listening here and then come back and complete the episode after you have read this fantastic book. But of course, if you have read the entire book, then keep listening. Or if you just don't care about spoilers, then by all means, continue listening to the episode. All right, that was your warning. One thing that I really liked about this book a lot was the family and loyalty theme. I felt like that was so strong throughout the whole book, because you have Zelle and Zane, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly.
Yeah.
Her brother. Okay. And then, you know, they've got their father, Baba, who they're very close with, and even Mama Agba, who's not, you know, she's not her mother, but she's very close with her. And then, so they all have their really strong familial relationships. And, you know, Zele and Zane are very close with each other and very protective of each other throughout the whole book. And then, too, we also have Amari and Binta, which, so... when I was looking up the mythology, I did look up some of their names too, to see, because I was interested in the names and what they meant. And I love that Amari's name means strength, because that comes into play so much in the book. Yeah. So I just thought that was really cool. But Amari and Binta, you know, she's got that great relationship with her. She's very loyal to Binta. And then Inan and his father, it's a complicated relationship.
To say the least, yeah.
But in the end, he's still really loyal to his father, because he betrays Zele and then, you know, is on his father's side. Although, yeah, that was a whole other thing. I don't know that I ever feel like he really was on Zele's side at any point. I think he was.
Oh.
I don't know. It was hard to tell.
Yeah.
But... yeah, did you kind of feel that too with the family and loyalty themes through it?
Yes, and you can really see a contrast between these two families, mm-hmm. with Zane and Zelie's family, and how they are loyal and they do have, you know, their arguments. I know Zelie and Zane argued all the time, justifiably so. She was a little insufferable.
Yes.
But then you see Amari and Anand and their parents. And mm-hmm. Amari and her mother had a horrible relationship. And Anand and his father, Anand was just kind of wrapped up, his self-worth was wrapped up in his father's acceptance, and that was ultimately mm-hmm. his downfall. And so it was conditional love. It wasn't unconditional. Whereas with, right. you know, Baba and Zelie's family was. So there really was a really nice contrast between those two family units.
Yeah, there definitely was. But I like, too, that Amari had such a great relationship with Binta, because she mm-hmm. clearly wasn't getting what she needed from her mother or her father. So it was nice to see that she still had somebody. I mean, at least until her father killed Binta, that is. But, I mean, gosh, her father is really, he is horrible. He is horrible. And then, like, reading about him pitting his own children against each other when they were training, but so much so that they would hurt each other. I mean, yeah, it was not enjoyable. So King Saran, yeah, so he treats his children really badly. He kills Binta. He is the one who led the massacre of the Magi in the first place. Like, and he kills people with no remorse. Like, he doesn't even care. It's like, I'm just killing you because I don't like you and because you're different than me, and I'm scared of the evil. Like, he's, you know, he says that magic is the source of evil. That's his whole thing. And kind of, you know, like what you were saying earlier, so you were kind of hinting at, is it or not like that? Because that's one of those gray areas, you know, like mm-hmm. depending on how they use their magic, you know, I mean, anybody with magic could be good or evil, you know, but I think sure. that it's mm-hmm. this stereotype of, you know, magic is the source of evil. It's not the magic that's evil to me. It's how it's used by the person, you know? Yeah.
I always just think of Lord of the Rings as the Eye of Sauron or something. I feel like, because we learned that the Magi killed his family or his first mm-hmm. family. And so, of course, that's going to elicit some feelings of revenge. And I think in the beginning of all of this, he had I don't want to say justifiable, but he had his reasons that mm-hmm. could be maybe valid, because it's retaliation, it's revenge, he's angry. But I think at some point it kind of turned into obsession and then also power, because if Magi have magic, then they're more powerful than him and he can't mm-hmm. have that. So I think at some point, don't know when, but at some point it became, it's just all about power. And so when he's confronted with his Magi son, power, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, power trumps, I hate to say that word, but he just like forgets everything else. Like, if you think about it, he hated the Magi because they killed his family. However, he is killing his family. He's literally been right. killing his children. So yeah. he's no better than anybody else.
Right.
So yeah, I think he makes for a good villain because, like you said, no remorse. And I love those types of villains. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to kill everybody. I don't care. Of course, they should be sympathetic, which I think he was, which makes him a good villain. But I love those types of villains where they're just like, I'm just going to kill everybody. I don't really care.
Yeah. But I think, like, it was crazy, like you said, how he was just like, he didn't end up killing Amari. He was ready to kill her because she left, because she betrayed him. Right. He was going to. But then he ends up killing Anand when he realizes that Anand, has the Magi power. Like, he doesn't even care. He's just so bent on his revenge and hatred of the Magi that he just can't take it anymore, that it makes him kill his own son. I mean, it's like you said, good villain. Amari, though, I absolutely love Amari. I really loved when I was thought it was so appropriate and perfect, of course, that her name means strength. And I loved that, you know, because she knows how wrong it is, you know, like, she's so different from her family, her mom and her dad especially, you know? And it's like, she loves her brother, but she also knows what she has to do. And she knows that what her father is doing is wrong. And so she's ready to take a stand and leave. And so I love that she steals the scroll and, you know, she risks kind of everything that she has to go out. And she just like randomly meets Zele and they end up helping her and ends up being like this, of course, perfect, you know, and that they need to be together. Mm-hmm. But I just absolutely loved Amari's character and she goes through a lot. Was Amari and Zane the relationship that you did not enjoy or was it a different one?
It was Zele and Anon.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I would. I thought Amari and Zane being together was kind of cute. I liked. Yeah. I thought they were sweet.
I agree.
I thought it was kind of funny. Like one point when Amari goes in to steal the scroll and she sees her father's cloak in, is it Kea maybe? Kea's chambers. And she like doesn't realize at first why her father's cloak would be there. And I'm like, Amari, think about it for a minute. Why would your father's clothing be in this other woman's room or office? Takes her a little bit, but then, you know, she ends up figuring it out. But yeah. What did you think of Amari?
I liked Amari. I think she unintentionally became one of the best characters in this book. Mm-hmm. I think she has probably one of the best character arcs. And yeah, I liked her a lot. I almost liked her better than Zele, if I'm being honest. Yeah, and I think her name is appropriate. The meaning of her name is, I'm really bad about doing my research, so I did not know that. So that makes so much more sense now.
Right? No, and yeah. you know what's funny is I actually don't really do much research either. Like I read it, I think about what I like or what I didn't like, and then I talk about it with my guest. But then what's funny is I have had episodes where I've had guests on who have been like, well, I did research on this. And I'm like, it's my own. I haven't even done it. And it's my podcast. But this book, I just wanted to know more. And then, you know, when I read about the Nigerian mythology, I really liked the mythology. And so I just wanted to just learn more. And so I just did more research on it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to look up these names and see if they mean anything and what it is. So it just happened to work out that way, but don't feel bad. I normally don't do much research.
Okay.
Just this episode.
Okay.
But I think too, one of the other things that I liked too was how this book kind of shows you, if you're raised a certain way, like to believe certain things, that it can be really hard to overcome that. You know what I mean? Because like when Zele touches Inan and he gets the magic, like when his magic comes alive and he kind of realizes what's happening, he gets the streak of white in his hair. He literally says, she must have infected me. And then at another point, he says, I clench my fist, almost positive I can feel the magic attacking my blood. So he's just so put off by the idea of the magic and that being any part of him at all, you know? And I think because of obviously being raised by his wretched father and just seeking his father's approval so much, all he knows is that hatred, you know? And it just made me think about, oh man, you know, I want to be careful about how I'm raising my kids because I want to make sure that they're not having, you know, hatred or these kind of feelings about any particular person or race or ethnicity or whatever it is, you know, like, I want them to know that just because people are different, I mean, that's great. We should celebrate differences. That's awesome. You know? So I really loved seeing that. And then kind of seeing how Inan, he's such a complicated character. Yeah, you know, like I agree with you. I was totally not into the Inan and Zele relationship that kind of started to develop because I was like, I really don't know if I can trust him. I can't trust him. And then in the end, look, and then he ends up betraying her in the end. And I was like, was any of that real? Or was it all just, I don't know. I agree with you on that. I didn't like it either.
Yeah. My reasons were more insta-love. I hate insta-love. And it's going to it's gonna make me lower the book's rating if it's in there. And I felt like this was definitely insta-love. And it didn't need to be. Like, I think their relationship, she put their relationship in there for Anand to meet these people that he has been told are maggots and monsters and just criminals and just horrible people. But you don't necessarily have to be in a romantic relationship to see that. Amari and Zelly aren't in a romantic relationship. And, you know, she can sympathize and learn about Zelly and see that everything that her father said was garbage. So it just didn't need to be there. And, but now that you say it, it maybe that's what Tomi was doing was, do I trust, you know, you as the reader, you're going to let your guard down around this guy, and maybe you shouldn't have, and maybe you shouldn't have trusted him. So maybe that was on purpose to kind of, because you want to trust the lover, a friend, but you want to trust the lover. And then when you can't, it adds another element of, I kind of like that.
Cause it's your main character, like giving their heart to somebody, you know, wearing their heart on their sleeve. And then you're like, oh man. Cause then it's like, you feel that too while you're reading from the main character's perspective. And then it just makes it all the more emotional for me as the reader when I'm reading it. And I'm like, I told you he was bad. You know, like, you shouldn't have trusted him. I did really like though, how they communicated through dreams. I thought that was a really cool kind of aspect. And then, I mean, that is kind of how they get to know each other for a little bit before they end up together in person. And then she helps him learn to control his magic a bit and kind of how to harness it and use it. I agree with what you're saying. I am a fan of, not the instant lovers, but I am a fan of like enemies to lovers. So this would have been like a really good setup for that if they had had like more time and it developed over time, but it was so quick that, and I think because it was so quick is why I was not trusting of him, you know, like, that may be very suspicious. What did you think about the mythology and the religious aspect of it? Because I really enjoyed it. I looked up the Yorubian mythology that she used because I thought it was really unique. They talked about Zele and the Magi having that connection to Sky Mother. And I loved when they went to the temple and they met, I can't remember his name, but they met the
Lincoln.
Yes. And, you know, he took him inside and he showed them that mural, like, and they talked about the really beautiful mural and how they felt the magic in there. And that, you know, they talked about the sunstone and having that connection with the Sky Mother. I just thought it was fascinating. And when I looked up the mythology, it says that all humans possess, I'm probably going to say it wrong, everybody possesses this thing, which is like destiny or fate. And so everybody is then expected to eventually become one in spirit with the divine creator. So it's like how, Zele is connected to Sky Mother. And then it says that a person's spiritual consciousness must grow in order to consummate the union with the spiritual self. So it's kind of like, and then they have the god of Orisha, the god's name is Orisha, who is an intermediary between humans and the supernatural. So it's kind of like how, you know, Zele had to, she had to have the connection to the Sky Mother in order for the magic to last and to, in order to restore the magic. I don't know. And maybe it's just because I'm like a big sucker for different types of mythology, but I liked that the magic, I guess what it is, it has like a story behind it, you know, like it's not just magic for magic's sake. It's not just like, poof, I can do this or I can turn invisible or whatever. It's got this really rich history and story behind it. I think that that's part of what really drew me into that.
I agree. I think it's all part of world building, and mm-hmm. fantasy can be quite repetitive sometimes. So if you can find little ways to make your story special, and through mythology is a good way to do that, it just enhances your story. And which is one of the reasons why I really enjoyed the book, is because this is a mythology I haven't heard before.
Yeah, agreed. Same here. Because I do, like, I have read, you know, and I love YA and I love fantasy, but I definitely have read books where I'm like, oh, I've read this type of thing before. You know, we've had this same mm-hmm. kind of magic, or this kind of thing has happened before. Oh, here's this again. You know, so anytime I find a story that is different, has, even if it's just one little aspect of it that's different, I'm like, ooh, yes. And I'm going to grab onto that and hold on to it and pull it in, because it really makes a big difference. You know, I love just the, mm-hmm. The uniqueness. Okay. So one of the parts of the story that I really found interesting was when, so they're traveling and they're trying to find the sunstone, right? They're trying to get the sun, and they have to compete in that like water battle. Like they're on the ships in the arena. I was like, this is the craziest thing. I can't even imagine. Like, I was trying to picture it in my head. I was having trouble because thinking about being in an arena, watching like an arena full of water and people in ships fighting each other. I was like, yeah, I don't know how that works, but it was just a really interesting scene that I enjoyed a lot. Was there anything, any specific scenes or different parts of the book that stood out to you more than others?
It's been a while since I read it, so I don't know like the specific details. I don't think so. I do remember enjoying the when they go to it's when they go to where Zane's friends lived. I want to mm-hmm. say they were like soccer players.
Yes.
And they were doing a festival. I thought that was in the zoo, and she was like their leader. She was a little girl. Yes. I did enjoy the festival, and I thought that was beautiful.
I kept trying to picture the little girl. Like, I was like, she's like 10 and she's their leader. Yeah. Like, how is this little girl? It's funny. It was funny to me because so many, you think about it, so many adults can't command respect of people and would not be mm-hmm. a good leader. But here's this little tiny girl who is leading all of these people, and they follow her without question. They're like, yeah, we're going to follow a 9 or 10 year old girl. Sure. And I was like, I can't even fathom this right now. I did. I like that. They were in the diviner camp.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Zoom. Yeah. I just found it. Yeah. I really liked that part too. And yes, his soccer friends, how fun was that? I was like, oh, that's just such a fun little kind of thing to include that they were buddies from there. One other thing that I really liked that really stood out to me is that, so Zaylee was able to use blood magic too, but I mean, it drains her completely, but I loved the image of the animations that she could create. Like, that she could just put her hands on the ground and create these like big, like, I kind of pictured them as like smoke. I don't know. But, you know, she could just create these big like figures that could then attack when she needed to. And I was like, that's a really cool power to have, you know? Like,
yeah.
If I could have a superpower, a magic of some sort. But of course, the downside is that using the blood magic drains you. So then you have mm-hmm. no strength. But
that's one of those little nuances that she put in her book. I'm sure other books have done that before, but I've never read it. So it's new mm-hmm. to me, which makes it great. So just all those little magic, literal magic things that she puts in her book. Yeah. That makes it even better.
Right. Okay. I know. I wanted to ask you about Rowan. What did you think about Rowan? Because he was one of those characters for me that I was like, I don't know about him. I wasn't sure if I could trust him, if he was going to come back and betray them, if he was good, if I wanted Zaylee to like be like, hey, I kind of like him. Let's forget Enon. You know what I mean? Like, I was kind of all over the place. What did you think about him? He was fun.
I don't know how much YA fantasy you read, but he's kind of a common character that appears in a lot of fantasy. Mm-hmm. So he reminded me of Captain Thorn in the Cinder series.
Yes.
And Nikolai in the Season Storm and King of Scar series. He's kind of this little cheeky guy, really flirty, but he's really informed and he's going to help you. So because I've read this character before, I'm just going to trust him because that's typically the guy that you trust and is there for you in the end.
That's very true. And he does. He does prove trustworthy in the end. Yeah. And I love it. He is super fun. He is that. And Thorn is one of my favorites. Yeah. Cress is my favorite book in that series. And really because I love her, but I really love Captain Thorn as well. Yeah. So. He's one of the favorites. Okay. This book was like, there's so much that happens all throughout the whole book, but then I felt like the end of it was like a huge storm, you know, like all of a sudden everything kind of comes together and all of this stuff happens all at once. Because Inan is like, I'm with you, Zayle, I'm going to help you, I promise, blah, blah, blah. And then the king comes in and attacks. And he tells Inan, you know, you have to sacrifice your heart for your kingdom and that is noble. And that's what it means to be king. And so Inan is like, well, that's what daddy says. And I need to make daddy proud. Forget this. I'm going to betray you, Zayle. Because then he leads his father there. And then poor Baba gets killed. That was really sad. I kind of knew it was. Kind of figured that would happen, mm-hmm. but I was like, oh, it didn't make it any easier, you know? It was still really sad. What I loved, though, too, was the timing of everything. I was a theater major in school, and so I've done, like, you know, had to take a Shakespeare class and stuff, and with Shakespeare, especially in Romeo and Juliet, timing is everything, because, you know, Romeo misses the messenger by, like, seconds, telling him that Juliet's actually alive and not dead, even though she's, you know, she thinks he's dead. Mm-hmm. He kills himself, and Juliet wakes up seconds later, you know? So with this one, Zayle tries, you know, she's going to perform the incantation, and then it's like right as she's ready, the scroll gets destroyed. And I'm like, no! And I was like, it was so close. It was so close. But then, I mean, it ends up working out at the end because then she's able to use the sunstone and the dagger and her blood magic instead of the scroll. So it does work out in the end, but there's kind of a lot that happens on the end. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the ending of the book?
Well, the whole book was really well paced. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not really a big fan of plot-driven stories. I prefer character. But if I'm going to read a plot-driven story like this, it needs to move. And it did move. And I appreciated it a lot. When you're talking about Anand and how he just betrayed her, I think it's realistic. I mean, he's been raised to think, like you said, they're maggots and mm-hmm. they're disgusting, and he meets one person that's the maggot that he's been raised to believe, and he falls really quickly. But he's been with his father for 18 years, mm-hmm. and you can't just expect him to just abandon everything. He still is seeking approval from his father, and he probably just thought, you know what, I have one more shot to maybe he will love me. And it didn't happen. So that's realistic. So I did like that, cause it makes Anand's character even more conflicted and even more a good character, I mm-hmm. think. But yes, it all happened really fast. And then she loses all of her magic, and then they get to this island. And so it was a lot to take in, but it was, exciting. It was, and you know, Amari steps in, like, it was really exciting. So I enjoyed all of it.
Yeah, me too. And you make a really good point about Inan with his father. You know, you're right, because that is a very realistic, and he was like so desperately just wanting the approval of his dad, you know, and wanting to make him proud. And so one last ditch effort, but then backfires on him, because then his dad, because then Inan ends up using his magic to save his dad. And then his dad sees that he uses magic and was like, nope, you're not. He says, you're no son of mine. And he kills them. And you're like, but he just saved your life. Like, he just saved your life. But then you kill him because he has magic in him. You know, and it's like, I really wanted you. You know what? It was like, for me, I'm reading that and I really wanted to have the like Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker moment right there, where it was like, you know, at the end, Darth Vader's saves Luke's life and he's in the, and it's all good. But no, that's not what happened. We went the opposite direction. But it's okay because it keeps you on the edge of your seat. And then you're like, now what's going to happen in the next book? But I do love too, then, you know, Amari, how she stood up for herself and, again, just used that strength that she had. And she fights her father and she kills him, you know, and she tells him, you raised me to fight monsters. It took me far too long to understand the real monster was you. And then she kills him.
Yeah.
So she's just, she's just one, I think, probably my favorite character as well. I always feel almost guilty when I say that, like, mm-hmm. one of the side characters was my favorite and not the main mm-hmm. character.
Yeah.
But it happens, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, it's fine. But I loved then at the very end when, you know, Zaylee wakes up in the boat and she's like, did it work? Did the incantation work? And then Amari's like, I have magic now. It's like, oh, okay. So that happened. Great. And cut. And then you're like, okay. I really enjoy books that have a good cliffhanger at the end. You know, like if I know there's another one coming, I love to have that cliffhanger. Yeah. As long as I'm able to read the next one pretty quickly.
Well, that's the rub. Then you got to wait for the whole series to come out.
I know. My problem is that I start reading books not realizing, like, someone will recommend a book. Okay. I'm like, okay. And then I'll start reading it and then go, wait a minute. These aren't all out? Shoot.
Yeah. It's only book 2 of 18. What?
Oh my gosh. Now I'm stuck, right? Because even now, because I've read this one and then I read the second one and now I'm like, now I gotta wait for book 3 to come out, find out what happens.
She takes a long time to write too, so you're gonna be waiting for a while.
Oh man. It's funny because I follow her on Instagram and she's been posting, you know, a bunch of stuff lately, and in her stories, she'll post about like something completely different or about somebody else's book that gets published, or, you know, she'll say she's doing an event and then she'll say, but don't ask me about book 3. It's coming. I promise. It's coming. So I'm like, oh, it's going to be a while yet. Were there any other plot points or different thoughts or anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't cover?
Mm-hmm. Nope. I think we covered everything.
All right, cool. I do too. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and your podcast on social media and where they can listen to your podcast?
We are on Instagram almost exclusively, Novel Universe Pod. I always get it wrong. It's not it's Novel Universe Pod on Instagram. And you can find our podcast anywhere where you get your podcasts.
Awesome. I will put links to Dawn's podcast and social media in the show notes for today so that all of you can go and follow her and listen to her podcast as well. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Dawn.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. I've been dying to do this book forever. And I was like, I need to find somebody who can do this book with me. And I got like kind of like that. It was okay. I'm like, no, I need somebody who really liked it.
I saw that on Facebook. I was like, oh, she is shooting them down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't have a problem with people having different opinions than I do, of course, but I just find it works better if I have somebody who we have most of the same opinion. We both mostly agreed.
Okay.
Just makes it flow a little better.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for doing this with me. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we will chat again soon.
Today's podcast featured the book Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. Please be sure to follow YA Book Chat on Instagram and Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe so you get your episodes as soon as they are available. YA Book Chat was created, is hosted by, and edited by me, Leah Stuhler.